The message I want to preach this morning is called Samson's Riddle. Samson's Riddle. We're going to go to the book of Judges. But first I want you guys to see this. 2 Kings 17, verse 25. 2 Kings 17, 25. Hallelujah. When you get there, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Most of you there, okay? There it is on the board. It looks like we've even blown up the font, huh? I really like that. Keep doing that. That's good work in the back. Thank you, Melissa, for everything you do. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent, what's it say? The Lord sent lions. Maybe I should title it, The Lord Sent Lions. Among them, which slew some of them. Imagine the Lord Jesus sending lions into your way. 26. And therefore they spake unto the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he, the Lord, hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. You ever seen that before? I had never seen that. Wanted to bring it to you. The same Jesus that's still alive today, the lion of the tribe of Judah, just dispatched some very real lions into Israel to build a little fear back of the Lord. The commentary says this is how God caused the men in Samaria to fear and respect him to a degree. They at least regarded the lions as a judgment from the God of the land. Isn't that interesting that our God, Jesus, would send lions into Israel at times and to slay people? Well, you heard it first here. You read it for yourselves. You pointed it. It's in the Bible. But we want to get to Samson's riddle. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, we're going here this morning. Lions are talked about all the way through the Bible. In fact, look at all these references right here when it talks about lions in the Bible. It says that they're crouching, they're fierce, they're fighting, they're destructive, they're roaring, they're stout-hearted, they're hunters, they're stealthy. They talk about satanic powers. We'll get to that in just a minute. There's boldness and strength and power to a lion. There's swiftness and cunning. And they can be just like Satan, who in this passage, 1 Peter 5, 8, is compared to a lion. Now, do you remember there was a movie, it was a Disney movie called The Lion King. Anybody ever heard of it? Anybody ever seen it? Okay, now in that movie there was this king lion. Anybody know his name? Somebody probably do.
Mufasa.
Okay, Mufasa. But then wasn't there an evil lion?
Scar.
Thank you, guys. And Scar wanted to kill the king, right?
That was his brother.
And he wanted to kill the heir to the throne, which would be the new lion king, right? We're going to see some interesting... They stole that storyline, by the way. In 1 Peter 5:8, look at this. It says, be sober-minded and be watchful, for your adversary, the devil. Did you know your adversary is the devil?
Yes.
Amen. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. It says, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the entire world. And after you have suffered a little, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen? We're going to face the adversary. He's going to come like a roaring lion. He's going to come after us. But guess what? To him be the glory and dominion. Now, God wants you to have dominion, and man lost dominion way back, okay? He lost dominion, lost the keys to the kingdom, lost his walk with God, became a fallen man in this world, and guess what? Through procreation, we've all become lost, okay? Every single one of us that ever came out of the loins of Adam and Eve are then full of the sin nature. But Jesus wants you to have dominion back. Amen? He wants you to have power back. He gave it originally, and He wants you to own it and have it. So God raises up lion killers, and He raised up lion killers in the Bible. There was a man named Benaiah, and God showed me you'd be here today, friend. And I thank God for that. Benaiah is in the Bible. My friend Paul, I call him Benaiah. I have for a long time. Benaiah came in and slayed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. It's an awesome, powerful story. He was one of the mighty men of God. And praise God, then there was this man named David. Anybody remember King David in the Bible? He said, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. Then he went after a big, ugly Philistine and he brought him down too. But every once in a while, God's going to raise up a lion killer. Amen? Well, here's another one named Samson. Now go to the book of Judges, Judges 14, and we'll pick up the story there. For the sake of time, I'll tell you what was going on. Samson was this unbelievable, mighty man of God. It was prophesied that he would be a judge of Israel. He was raised up. He had the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost all over him from his mother's womb. And they said, you can only eat certain things. This guy is going to be powerful. And guess what? He was. And when the Holy Spirit would come upon him, he would do unbelievable works and exploits and miracles for God. And we're going to pick that up. But he had this one weakness, and it was always women. It was always women. In Judges 14:3, his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of my brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Now, he shouldn't have done that, but he was always eyeing up. The grass was always greener on the other side, so to speak. But look at verse 4. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. Lord was going to pick a fight here through this Samson. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion. In other words, the Philistines were running the show. The Philistines were over it. They were over Israel. And God is sick and tired of anybody having dominion over His children. Amen? Over His chosen. Over the people of God. He's sick and tired and sick of that. And look at here. By the way, when your kids are sick or tired, or when your little children get a fever, how does it affect you moms and dads? Aren't you sick to death? Aren't you tired? Something rises up in me whenever a little Christian, she's 4 years old, sweetest, but she's burning up. And I feel like I can do nothing about it. But something rises up and I begin to pray for her. I begin to rebuke that sickness. Begin to rebuke infirmity. Begin to lay hands on her. Continually pray until something lifts. Amen? When you're a father or a mother and you have children, you want the best for your children. Our Father in heaven wants dominion, wants you to have the dominion that He has purchased for you at Calvary. He wants that in your children and in His children's children forevermore. Amen? He wants you to have a full inheritance that He bought and paid for at Calvary, and He wants that working in your life. Hallelujah. In verse 5, we see the entrance of a lion. Now, I don't know if this was a lion that had been formerly set up in the area, but whatever the case, in verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, it says, a young lion roared against him. Now, it doesn't mean it was a little pup. It said that this was a young, prideful, the Hebrew word is a lion in the pride of his youthful prime. This isn't a little pipsqueak. This is a lion that thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. And he comes against Samson in this moment. And because Samson has spent time with God, Samson was a man that was consecrated. Samson did have this consecration. You know all about his beautiful hair. But he would spend time with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit would come upon him at times, and he would do radical things for God. And that's exactly, and because he had done this, a lion pounces out of the bushes or whatever, and Samson just grabs him by the neck and the mouth and breaks his jaw or whatever, kills this young lion that thought he was going to take him. By the power of the Almighty God, the next verse picks it up in verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and he talked to the woman. So you see the mighty power of God in this man, just like every man in this room. But then there's always this woman. There's always this foreign woman. There's always this attraction. There's always this lust that's somehow pulling at us and pulling us away from the consecration of the Lord. And she pleased Samson well. She was very pretty to the eye. And after a time, he returned to take her. But look, it says, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion that he had killed. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and he dipped down and went down into that lion's carcass and grabbed out of the honeycomb and picked up in his paws and in his hands, and he started to eat that honey. It's amazing what a superfood honey is. It's amazing. I was reading up how it was produced and just what's all in it and how you're supposed to have some of it every day. And it's just, it's amazing. But he's eating honey out of the carcass of a lion. He took his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave it to them. And they did eat, but he didn't tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Isn't that interesting? So we're going to come up to the riddle now. Now, 30 of Samson's Philistine friends, because he's looking at a Philistine girl, they're start going to accompany him. And he puts forth a riddle to him in verse 12. And he says, I declare that if you can figure this out within 7 days of this feast of my marriage to this girl, I'll give you 30 sheets of a change of garment. At the end of 12, you see that it's all about clothes right here. So Samson must have been a fashionista or something like that. In 13 it says, but if you cannot declare it to me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth a riddle that we may hear it. So here's Samson's riddle. Are you ready? 14. And he said unto them, here it is, you figure it out. Out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. So what does it mean, church? I pose the question to you. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Now, riddles were big in this time period, especially amongst the Philistines. So he put something to them, and he was trying to get them to figure this out. What is it? Who's the strong eater? What's the sweetness? What does he give? It's an odd riddle. And we're going to have to pray to find it out. Bow your heads. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, we just ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to come and anoint, Father God, this room. Lord, stir up the measures of faith in this room. Father God, that I don't have to preach dry. I can, Father, get the faith out of somebody else here. And Father God, you'll find, Lord Jesus, honey, Father, in the carcass of some other person out here. And Father God, the Holy Spirit will begin to move in this place. Holy Spirit, come into this house and resurrect and stand up and stir everybody in this room. And everybody said,
Amen.
So what's sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion? And they plowed and plowed until they figured out that they could go through to this young lady, and they had threatened her. They said, I'm going to kill your father and your family and burn his things if you don't tell us the answer to this riddle. Because they wanted to take Samson down. And they finally got to their answer, and he gave up through her relentless pursuit, and he told her, and here, this was the answer, a honeycomb in the carcass of a dead lion. That was the answer to the riddle. A honeycomb in the carcass of a dead lion. A honeycomb in the carcass of a dead lion. Did you guys all get it? No? Samson's riddle. Now, in ancient writings, the Messiah is portrayed as a powerful lion. Our Lord devoured his enemies. How many believe that?
Amen.
All who are against the Lord will be torn apart. Hosea 13:8 says, like a lion, I'm going to devour anybody that ever stands against me. The lion in Samson's riddle was only a carcass of the flesh, but also the Lord Jesus was. a carcass of the flesh. Now go back to John 6. I want to show you something. John 6, this is right back to our communion today. John 6, 51, if you pick this up. Out of the carcass of a lion, something sweet. John 6:51 says, I'm the bread, the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh or carcass. To put it in a different thought. Jesus is going to bring his earthly humanity, his flesh, his carcass, and place it here. Okay? Which I will give for the life of the world. The bread that I will give is my flesh. It's my carcass. That is my body. We say this in the Lord's Supper this morning. This is my body which is broken for you. Amen? I'm going to lay down my body, my flesh, my carcass, which will be broken at the cross for you. And in this, that sinners might find the atoning sacrifice and be recovered from spiritual death and be brought to eternal life in Christ Jesus. And the gift was free. Amen. And it was full. And it gives full pardon. And it was designed for every man, every woman, and every child that was ever born and would believe this word of God. That gift was from God. Amen. He's the living bread that came down. And he wants every single one of us to eat. And this kind of a God will handle all the sins of the world. If any man cometh unto me, he said, and whosoever shall believeth can be saved today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. But there's honey. Now, in his lifeless body, it was taken down from the cross, and his mouth no longer spoke the sweet, savory words of the kingdom of God. In fact, for 3 days, they thought they had him beat, right? He didn't speak any of the honey of the truths of the Word of God, the sweetness of these things. But once again, after his resurrection, he shows up to the disciples with words sweeter than honey started to flow out of his mouth again. And he started to lead them along the way again and say, you need to go to Jerusalem. Tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. And his words were of love and of peace. And he said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you, to Thomas and to all the others. And he's bringing forgiveness to every single one of them through the death, burial, and resurrection. Psalm 119, 103 says this, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are the words of this Bible to you the sweetest thing that you know? Sweet to your sustenance, sweet to your growing, sweet to church, this is the sweetest words that have ever been penned in a book, ever. They're words that are holy. They're words that are righteous. They came from God. Amen? They came for every single one of us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. No bitter words of anger, hate, or deception ever came from Jesus' mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation 5:5, it says this, that one of the elders said, who is going to be able to open the word of God? Who's going to be able to open the book? Who's going to be able to loose the seals? And they found no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, that was able to open the book. And John began to weep in verse 4, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither even to look upon the word. And in Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. Everybody say, hath prevailed. Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I believe a type of the Holy Ghost. There's one that came, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that was going to release the power of God, and that alone was going to open the book of all books. And this God found a man named Jesus Christ who was worthy, who was sinless, who was powerful, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring about salvation and to open the book of life for every single man, woman, and child that would ever believe. Somebody shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Now somebody shake the person sitting next to you. I mean literally grab them and shake them, because something's going on in this house this morning. I don't understand what it is. But there has to be some excitement in the house of God. I'm redeemed. Amen. Amen. I am redeemed and you set me free. Amen. Jesus set us free. There is no reason to be so stoic in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You guys are acting like Scott Frost is not the coach of Nebraska or something like that. Now, come on, church. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he alone is the one that could open the book. And that word prevailed, I had to look up the word prevailed. You know what it means? Nikos. You know what that comes from? Nike, okay? He stuck on his Nikes and began to do a work. It means conquered. Jesus alone was the one that was going to conquer it all. The one that can ride on the white horse. The one that can take a bow and just bend it. The one that has a crown upon his head. In Revelation 6:2, it says this, he went forth conquering and to conquer. He is the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the bright and morning star. He is everything. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He is the King of the Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. That word also means to get the victory. Now up in Vermilion, they said, I'll never forget this, Stan Peterson, he said, I didn't know there was victory in the church anymore because I hadn't heard it in 30 years. Well, I want you to know there's victory in this church because there's victory in this house. Amen. There's victory because Jesus Christ is alive from the dead, making everything new. Amen. Raising us all up to spiritual stature and putting the glory of God into us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And that's pretty sweet if you ask me. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Look at this. Romans 12:21 says this. I'll just read it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That reminds me of that Scar. Didn't you say Scar was his name?
Mm-hmm.
Scar thinks he's this big lion. All he is mean and ugly, right? He's a lion prowling, roaring around like he owns the place. Amen? And be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You got to overcome that lion with something that's really lion-like. Amen? And what was the other? Mufasa was the dad, right?
Yeah.
Guarantee you don't want to mess with Father God.
Amen.
You don't want to mess with Father God. You're not going to kill Father God. Amen. You're not going to kill his son. Amen. In fact, the exact opposite happens in the Bible that we read today. Praise God. We got to overcome. The Bible says bind the strong man so you can rob him. Amen. And take his goods. It says take back what the devil stole from you. Amen. Take back, Christians. Amen. We're a conquering people. We're a prevailing people. We are a powerful people. Do you know that about you and about your DNA? Your father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's got a growl in him. Amen. I wouldn't want to mess with that kind of a God, okay? You better look out. He is the King of glory, the King mighty in battle, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. He says, I have overcome the world in John 16. He says, I write unto the fathers and the young men and the little children. And I say this, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one in 1 John 1. Look at this. There's so much overcoming power. 1 John 4:4. And ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the world, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. He that is in me, because Christ is indwelling and the Holy Ghost is feeding me supernatural food and power and fuel, is giving me some kind of power on this earth to walk out my Christianity, and nobody can touch it. Amen? Because there's a lion roaring inside of me. Are you getting this morning? There is a lion with a growl that you cannot imagine, and he is alive today, and he liveth and ever liveth inside us, and he ever liveth to intercede for us. Amen? Church, hallelujah. This got me all stirred up, and as you can see, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The very next verse says, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that this morning? Then my God, you're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. You're going to overcome this world. You're going to overcome the flesh and the devil, not by your own power, but by the strength that liveth in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Man, you might as well clap and get me happy this morning. Amen. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I went out to Wisconsin to a minister's convention, and he said, you're out in that Midwest where there's a lot of Lutheran Pentecostals, right? I had never heard that before. He said, they're not very exuberant, but they do hear every word. And yes, they do. Amen? Praise God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I want to read all the overcoming statements in the first part of Revelation here to you. You guys hang on to your seats, okay? Revelation 2 says this, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Does that sound good to you? Pretty sweet, huh? I'm going to give that to you, to the overcomer. Revelation 2:11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You're not going to hell. You're going to live for eternity. How do you like that? Pretty good deal, huh? Pretty sweet if you ask me. Revelation 2:17. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it. Wow, a new name written down in glory. Verse 26, Revelation 2. He that overcometh and keepeth my works. You know what the work is? The Great Commission in the church. If you are going to keep that thing going on this earth, if you are going to add to the church, if you are going to be a part of God's plan to reach the nations, if you're going to be a part of the going and the sending and the giving and all of this, look at this. In verse 26, it says, I will give him power over the nations. Amen. We got one hand clap in this place, and I'm sure glad you did, sister, because that's exactly what you're going to have. God's given you power over the nations. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father and before the angels. My God. Jesus Christ is going to say, Mark Trimble is mine. He's going to speak to his Father God, and he's going to profess before all the angels of heaven, Mark Trimble's mine. Yeah, that might get a hand clap of praise too. Church, I just don't think we're excited enough about the Word of God anymore. Maybe we've heard so much of it that it doesn't seem to, well, that's good. That sounds great to me. Church, this is a good deal. I'm telling you, it's pretty sweet. It gets sweeter. 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. I got to move on because there's more. There's just more. Study this out. To him that overcome in 21, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Father, scoot over. I'll be right with you. I bet my father's just going to say, come, Aaron, come up and sit with me for a while. Jesus, hallelujah. How sweet is that, church? Think about it. The one who sought you and bought you has overcome all for you. Church, I'm going to tell you, the enemy in Revelation 7, he comes in and he says there's these two witnesses and all they're doing is doing miracles all over the place. And it says that the enemy, the Antichrist, comes over and he overcomes them. And he kills them and they lie dead in the streets for 3 days. The enemy thought that he had won again, but you know what? It says the Spirit of God raises up these two witnesses again, and it says all the world saw it, and the enemies of our God saw it, and then they were taken up because the Lord God says, come up hither. And they're brought up and they're translated out of it because Jesus has the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Amen. And he has loosed every captive that could ever be captive, and he has brought them to heaven with him. Hallelujah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death, church. Those were the martyrs. And see, everybody in this Bible, you read the Hall of Fame of Faith. They are overcomers, 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 because their God, the Lamb who became the Lion, is the great and mighty overcomer of all. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Give him a hand clap in the house of God. Hallelujah. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and they shall be my son. If I'm going to give you, if God is going to give you the inheritance of everything, all that he has, why are we so interested in the dust of this earth? Everything that's going to burn up. Why are we so busy and encumbered about, busied with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, when it's all going to burn up, wood, hay, and stubble, and be gone? But what lasts is what's golden. Amen? What's last is the ministry of the Almighty God, the mission of Almighty God, the people that worship the Lamb. Amen. That is what is eternal. Are you hearing me? Somebody say amen in this house.
Amen.
And God, I want to preach that to myself. I don't want to live to accumulate something on this earth when I could give it away and let God bless it. Amen. God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was humble. He was oppressed and afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He looked pretty weak. But he was not weak. We may look pretty weak at times. We may not look like our Father, the lion, at all. But we have royal blood in us. We have the same royal blood. And when he rises up in us, it's like we become a manimal. We become part man and part lion. Something rises up. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. I've tried to explain it to you people for 6 years. And I'm going to do it again the best of my ability. When the Holy Spirit rises up in this man, and I can't put words to it, it feels like I am absolutely unbeatable in the kingdom realm. You know what I'm saying? There is something that riles me up. It's something that stands up within me. And I've always said, I feel like I could take out Mike Tyson in his prime. But that's something. I figured this out through recent studies. They said in the Old Testament, these men fought like lions. They were lion-like men. These mighty men of God, they were lion-like. Have you ever read that? You know what he's saying? He's saying we have all the attributes of our Father. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has now stood up within us. And there is nothing that can defeat that man or woman that is full of Jesus Christ. Amen? There is nothing. There's no devil. Jesus has already conquered the devil. He's done. Amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let Christ arise in you and let the glory of God be seen in you, and devils will move to the right or the left. Amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Somebody needed to hear that today. There was a victorious sacrifice that was placed upon. It was the carcass of Jesus Christ. It was the flesh of Jesus Christ brought to atone for you, brought to end the wrath of God over your life and to get you to walk. I want you to go to Colossians 2:14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I just love you, Jesus. Colossians 2:14 through 17. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us. That's all the law that you broke, okay? All the laws that you broke were just patchwork up here with Jesus. He blotted all those things out and he smeared them with blood. He smeared it with blood. He smeared every sin that was ever against you, and he smeared it in his own blood, which was contrary to you. He took away it as they nailed it to the cross. Can you hear the nails that took your sins away, church? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. That means he conquered them. That means he destroyed them. That means he put the Nikes on and walked all over it. Jesus has conquered hell, death, and the grave to give you victory today, and you ought to walk in it. Amen, church?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:24. Just gets better. I love preaching this gospel. It is a good, good, good word, sister. Sister in the back row, it's a good word. Amen. Amen, sister. Hallelujah. Kay, you believe it's a good word?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15:24. He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Jesus is going to put down all rule and authority and power. It's part C of that, okay? Jesus wants you to have dominion. Jesus is not going, listen, Jesus is not going to stop until you have dominion over it all. He wants you to have dominion over every aspect of it. Look at that, 25, what does it say? For he must, what?
Reign.
You know what kings do? Reign. Kings reign, amen? He wants you to have dominion, power, and a reign over everything that stands against you. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Is Christ in you? Then where does he want your feet? Is Christ in you? Absolutely. Then where does he want your feet? Brother Rob, might as well stick your feet up. Right? Amen. Because he has made his enemies his footstool. And my God, we might as well climb up in the lap of Jesus Christ and rest in our Father, knowing that he has done and recovered all, and he has won all. And my God, church, he is going to reign, and he wants to reign in your life, and he wants to bring dominion, power, and authority unto you in your life.
Yes.
Holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will never pass away. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you know that Jesus is on the top of the food chain? Like a lion. The Bible says in Proverbs 30:30 that there's no animal, there's no beast like a lion. He's at the very top. God created it that way. Church, Hebrews 2:8 says, and all things are in subjection under his feet. He's left nothing that's not put under him. Melissa, I want you to put this one up for me. Hebrews 2:14. Hallelujah. I tend to use quite a bit of scripture. Do you guys mind that? Because we want to be a church that preaches the word. I'm not here to tell you a bunch of fancy little stories about caterpillars. Okay? I'm here to preach the gospel. Paul said, I came not even to baptize, but I came to preach the gospel. That's the word of God. That's sound doctrine. We preach sound doctrine here. Amen? If there's any draw left in this world to the word of God, you'll find it. Hallelujah. Look at this. For as much then as the children are partakers, now look at this, of flesh and blood. You guys are all flesh and blood, right? Look what God did. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus was birthed in the human flesh, right? Tested and tempted every way in like that which you are. Now look at this. That through death, the carcass came, the atoning, Jesus had to die. He said, it is finished. That through death, he might, everybody say this, destroy him.
Destroy him.
Destroy him. Destroy him. No, I said destroy him. Amen.
Destroy.
Jesus came to destroy him. Dylan, are you getting that? Jesus came to destroy someone. Now, if God's going to destroy somebody, it's going to be a pulverizing. Amen?
Yes.
That he might destroy him that had power of death, and that is the devil. Did he do that?
Yes.
Then Satan is destroyed.
Amen.
Glory to God, sister. Hallelujah. Can you give me five? You're so sweet. Amen, sister. Oh, I like her. She can come back every time.
Amen.
Please come back, sister. You're my amen crew now. Jesus destroyed the devil. Now look at this. It's not done. Go to 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Slavery, bondage, vices, lusts. Everybody. He came to deliver you from that. And so he took the head off the big guy, El Diablo. He put him down. So he can't reign. to give you unbelievable delivering power. You don't have to be subject to bondage. God hates your bondage. He wants you to have dominion over the enemy. Amen? Amen. We've heard that over and over today. God wants you to have the dominion over your sin nature. Amen? Read Romans 6. Just read it. Hallelujah. He wants you to have a complete victory over every trial, every circumstance, in every relationship, in every conflict, in every criticism, in every unkind word, in every rejection, in all the bitterness and guilt and abuse and unforgiveness and unbelief and pain and wounds and sickness and diseases, the world, the flesh and the devil and your sinful self. He has given you power to deliver you because He already took the head off the devil and destroyed him. Amen?
Amen.
My God, He's a conquering King. Do you see it? Hallelujah. I can't help it. Sorry if I'm loud. I get excited easily. Jesus conquered death to give you victory in every area. He has made us more than conquerors. Now, in the strength of the most ferocious lion, Jesus fought. And He decapitated that enemy. Listen, this is what you have to do. In the strength of the most ferocious lion that is in you, you have to believe that Jesus whooped him. Amen?
Yes.
That Jesus' death took care of it. But His resurrection gave you life and power. Amen? And now there's grace outflowing this cross to give you such power and anointing that I'm telling you, it literally changes me when I pray in the Holy Ghost and I feel the power of God come down on me. And I'm going to tell you the only reason God has done anything in this realm and in this area is because of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost in us. Amen?
Amen.
In every single one. The only reason this area has miracles and miracle testimonies and miracle salvations and people hear it, it's because Jesus Christ is alive in you. Amen? He's inside. He's inside of us all. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And that's pretty sweet. Amen? That's so sweet. I want to take this and I want to eat out of that carcass. Amen? I want to eat. I want to grab all the honey I can from the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take it in my hands. Amen? My paws. Amen? And I want to have honey dripping all over my paws. And I want to go all the way through this world and I'm going to touch everybody. In fact, why don't I just go pour out some of that honey all over you guys. Amen? Who wants a dose of honey? Amen? Everywhere. It's coming on all of us. Praise God. Let's get some anointing in this place and let the honey flow like it should out of the carcass of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Let's get stuck to Jesus. Amen. Let's just get literally stuck to Jesus Christ and to let Him touch us all. Amen. My God, and let's stick it everywhere. Let's take this gospel everywhere into all the world and let Jesus do what only Jesus can do. My God, let's fight like our Father, Dylan. I mean our Heavenly Father. Let's fight like our Father. If He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and He has destroyed the enemy once and for all, and all His enemies are under His feet, doesn't that give you a little bit of, Wait a second. I'm not talking about pride. I'm just talking about, yeah.
Confidence.
That's my dad. Amen? He's an awful big lion. He's the King. He's at the top of the food chain. He's never been defeated. He never will be defeated for eternity. He's going to put me in His lap. He's going to give me His inheritance. He's going to give me everything. He's going to pronounce me before the Father and His angels. He's going to feed me. He's going to do all these things forever and forever. Church, this is your inheritance. You're blessed of the Lord. Amen. And that's the sweetest deal you're ever going to find. There's honey. There's honey. Honey out of the eater. Amen. Hallelujah. There's strength. There's honey. Sweetness out of the strong. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And we're going to fight like our Father. Now look at this. We read this on Wednesday night. This is our Father. Okay? This is what He does in us. David wrote this because he knew. David was a lion killer and he wrote this. And I'm in Psalm 18, 29. For by thee I've run through a troop. Imagine a lion running. And by my God, I've leapt over a wall. Because we've got the lion nature inside of us. Think about a cat on a roof. Think about this. Now imagine a lion. 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength.
Amen.
and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me on the high places. He teacheth my hands to war. Your God teaches you to war. Somebody say amen. Amen. That encourages me. So that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Wow. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holds me up. Thy gentleness hath made me great. You know, I think about that. You watch the Discovery Channel. You see a lion. You ever seen a lion mother pick up her cubs and carry them around? Those big teeth don't even crush that little lion. They just grab the mane and they carry it around. I just got a picture of that this morning. That's exactly what God does with us. He just grabs us and carries us around like we're a little kitten. You know what I mean? And he watches us like paw the dirt and play around like a kitten, like kittens do, you know. Chase a ball of string because we're still trying to figure this Christianity out. You know, fall over, jump off the table and land on our, hopefully, our feet most of the time. That's our God. Thy gentleness hath made me great. The mighty God's looking down on us. But look at this. Now look at this. 37, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Now this lion's doing a little devouring. Amen? He's consuming enemies. This little lion's growing up. 38, I've wounded them that they were not able to rise. And they are fallen under my feet. I bet he took down a sparrow. I bet that little lion pawed something. He took down a grasshopper and a sparrow. But now the game's getting bigger. Amen? They are all fallen under my feet. Man, that sounds a lot like his daddy. For thou hast girded me with strength unto battle in 39, and subdued under me. That's subdued. That's dominion. Under me. That's reign. Those that rose up against me. 40, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. You ever seen a lion get a throat, a jugular bite on like a wildebeest or something like that? Look at that. He's given you the neck of your enemy that I might destroy them that hate me. Wow. You're hearing that growl?
I feel it.
You feel it in you. That's the Holy Ghost. God's not dead, church. We are the people that has to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. We are the people that have been raised up in this community. You are the people. You've got a royal lineage of the Lion of the tribe of Judah pulsating through your veins, and you need to let the lion roar. You need to let the glory of God in you and out of you and through you into this culture and into this people, and he will stir the world once again for God. And I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost to every single person in this room. Yes. We have been redeemed not to sit on a bench, amen, but to go into all the world and preach a gospel. Whether people like it or lump it, we're going to preach the truth, amen, into this age with a power of conviction and a power of consecration and a power of courage that is well beyond us. Aaron Trimble can do nothing, okay? But the God in me can do everything as I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Amen? Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. My dependency, my power, yours and mine, is on Jesus living in us and through us, and he will do unbelievable works and power. Dylan, do you believe that today?
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Are you guys any Southpaws in here? You Southpaw? What do you think they got that name? You be a Southpaw for Jesus. Any Northpaws? Got some Northpaws? Yeah. Put it to the devil's cheek, okay? Pulverize him. Destroy him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Time's beat me. I'm halfway through my message. Oh, I love it. God gave me 27 pages. Marlis, all you can do, in an hour's time, you can preach 10 pages. I did better than that. I got to about 14 today. But what I'm saying is, there's much more in this book.